Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to awaken to the truth of your soul? Welcome to today's episode of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show with your host, Nadia Khalil.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to today's show. Today we are already Friday, I guess because I missed yesterday. I feel like we just shot into Friday. It is December 7th already, and in this first, I want to say, well, not just in December, because one of them was in November, the two people pass away. And the day before was the first funeral. And it's just, it is a time of celebration. We will miss them very much. And at the same time, listening to their lives, because we have so much video, so many pictures that we got to see them in so many different lights. And, you know, when I keep saying our life is a body of work, our pictures tell a huge story. Even the pictures we choose to share. And I got back yesterday in late afternoon, and I got home and I just looked around and I thought, you know, Let's just enjoy life each day for what it is. And I know we say it, and we also do it, but it just gave it a deeper feeling, remembering that not only when we leave do we leave, but what have we left with the people we love? What would we want to do different? What would we wish we would have said? What would we try to do better for ourselves? Because we can skip and cut corners on ourselves quite easily. So anyway, that's what I came back with. I'm sorry I wasn't here yesterday. I missed you guys. I always think of when I'm in a hotel waking up at 5:30 in the morning, my voice just carries and somebody knocking on the door, you know, saying, hey, that's not so cool. But today is Questions Friday, and I got a question from Christopher Sedre, and he said, hi, Nadia, my question is, I believe we stay on the roundabout because we know nothing new. How do we get off the roundabout and change our robotic to do or try without fear something new? It's about addictions to love you and thank you. Hug. Not that you don't know anything new. That's not the issue. The issue is not trying anything new. Because you know you don't want to be on things or do things that you used to do. You know that when you start to not listen to yourself. It's as though you know nothing. It's like you're blind, deaf, and dumb to every solution, because every solution is hard once you try it. When you talk about addiction, because, you know, I know you had the issues you had with addiction. Addiction is something else running your body other than you, that you even answer to the addiction. The hard one. That's why we have special places for people to do it step by step. And, you know, they can get you out without you drinking or doing drugs or smoking or whatever it is we do. They can get you to a month to 2 months, some places 3 months, some places a year without you doing it. But then when you come out without all that support that held you up, it's a little bit scary not to be who you were before you went in, because you don't know who you are without it. The sheer giving up, because it runs your life for you, so now you're not accountable for your own life in a weird way. But it's not about knowing, it's about doing. that every single day, even if it's every hour of the day, got to say, wow, I'm really proud of myself. I didn't even think about it because I kept myself busy here. I started doing this. Or you get a job that keeps you away from the house 8 hours. And then when you get back, you only have 3 or 4 to deal with. And maybe you might want to go out with a friend for dinner or stuff like that. But to counteract the loneliness of any addiction, which tries to keep you away from people so that you will remain addicted. And addiction, again, is what is running the body, not you. And addictions are really hard. I mean, never underestimate the power of the pull of what an addiction can do to anybody's life. They don't want to do it. They hate doing it. They know it's going to wreak havoc. They know it's going to hurt the people around them. They know it's going to hurt them. But the addiction, the voice of addiction is so powerful that without consciously being conscious of it, it's hard. The addiction keeps fighting you. It never stops fighting, and that's where the issue is. So it's not like someone's going to tell you a magic word and you're going to say, oh, I finally get that. I'm going to stop it. It's an action. It's a ritual of actions that you take that keep you away from it. You keep yourself busy away from the addiction. You know, a lot of people who've been addicted help other people who are addicted because it keeps them strong. AA has a great system like that where they have people who are sponsors. They're sponsors of other people. And it keeps both sent and strong. One who they can see at the beginning stages of fighting the addiction. And you who are more advanced, now you're mentoring. So now you're more accountable to yourself and to others. So that's because they're doing something, not just knowing something. We can sit down and know everything. And, you know, like I say, the one person who knows everything is the one who didn't try anything. They're just telling you they know everything. That's why they didn't try. And I'm like, fun to try, don't you think? Kind of fun to try. I like to try. I might not succeed, but I definitely like to try. And Francis writes, is that question about addiction from Chris Woods or not Cedric? It's from Chris Woods. Sorry about that. Chris Woods in Ireland. And it's, addiction isn't a crowd pleaser. And the first person it doesn't please is the person who is delayed us. I would say the first action I would take is to keep myself around people who are not using whatever it is I'm using. If one person can't spend that much time with you, find several. Sit with old people. Talk to people. Get a job where you physically work. I know it sounds funny to say that. When you're moving around, you don't have much time to think. Or a hobby that you love. Singing, painting, dancing. But keep yourself in a higher energy that you can accept not, I want to say, falling into the trap again. It's an easy trap to fall in because the stuff's right there. You can go buy it at any time. It's not like you have to try hard to find it. I wish they had an addiction radar when you went to go buy these things and it tells you you can't. Make it a lot harder to get, but there isn't. The addiction radar has to be in your heart. And your heart really has to fight for you on this one. Really has to fight for you on this one. And you have to let people know around you that love you and that you love. That, you know what, I'm fighting this bigger than I am 90% of the time. If when I feel like going back to it, can I just call you for a minute and you kind of reel me back in? I've met anyone who doesn't want to help someone do that. Knowing something new. It's doing what we already know how to do. As hard as it is, doing something we already know how to do. It's like losing weight. We're addicted to sugar, salt, and fat. And it's one thing to say it, but when you see a bunch of heavy people, that's new news to them. And it's not easy to stop. You got there, it's going to take you years to get all that off. But it's an addiction. It's comfort in the addiction. And unfortunately, that's where your comfort zone is. So now we have to reestablish an entirely different comfort zone. And that's the hardest thing to do. Everything is possible. Our mind knows that. And your heart and your soul have to be the push behind the mind, because the mind by itself can't do much. It just can say, okay, I agree. And then your passion has to come out for your heart, for your soul, for your life. So pay attention. It's not easy for anyone, even me just trying to get off of the stuff I ate. It took me 2 years to get off of Coke. Specific, but it took me long to get off of bread. And you do get headaches when you stop eating sweet stuff. And it wasn't that it was the wheat, it turned out, that was the issue. It was what they sprayed it with. It was hurting us. It wasn't gluten that we were not able to overcome. It was the stuff they sprayed on the gluten that was getting us sick, to help the wheat process faster instead of them waiting 2 weeks for the wheat to dry out. It would dry out right away. So it would save them 2 weeks of time. And for that, we all paid a digestive price. Knowledge is power. Using our knowledge is when we succeed. So just remember that. Knowledge is power. But when we use our knowledge, that's when we succeed. I had another question today, and somebody was very frustrated, was dealing with a narcissistic personality, and their question to me was, why are narcissistic people so mean? And a while ago, which I didn't know this, but Christ snitched and told me, and it turned out to be true. And I know that sounds funny for me to say, but I had to look it up because I wasn't sure I was hearing right. Told me that narcissism is a mental disorder. A mental disorder. So I looked it up. This was a while back. And sure enough, it was there as a mental disorder. And I thought, well, if it's a mental disorder, how do we help it? Using mental disorders, we can help. Most mental disorders, we either can medicate or behavior, you know, modify the behavior of that soul, and we can help them establish a sense of productivity and love in their lives. Some reason we can't with the narcissist. What is it with that personality? So I also, when I didn't know I was under the influence of a narcissistic personality, I remember when I first got away from them, and before I saw Christ, but I was writing, and I was writing how this person was the meanest person I have ever known. And yet, on the outside, when you meet this person, they're gentle, they're quiet, they look loving, people think they're great, they laugh, they're charming, they've got a lot of mojo, they've got everything going. So I thought, how could this Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, I don't know which one's the better one, the Hyde or the Jekyll, maybe Hyde is the better one and Jekyll is the nutty one, but being one person. Where does a switch turn on and off? Once I knew it was a mental disorder, I felt better. Like, in a weird way, I just felt good. Like, at least there's a label on it. At least it gives you a starting point of how to think about this person. Because now I'm still directed at a person. But do you remember in Origins of Truth where Christ said, the meek are blind. The meek shall inherit the earth. They're a big deal. Is to inherit the earth. But at the end of the day, what do you get if you inherit the earth? Nothing. Because we don't stay here. We leave at some point. You don't want to inherit the earth. Nobody ever got that. And when Christ told me that, I used to think the meek were good, and I was one of them. Because I thought, oh, we'll get what we need while we're here. Blind. The black and white. We're either going to see life this way or that way. I just said that to someone who has studied the Bible, who went to theology school, who preached, and they did not understand that until I said, the meek shall inherit the earth 3 times. And he finally looked at me and goes, oh my, I can't believe. Oh, wow. And I thought, yeah, dig in, baby. But let's take this mental disorder a little farther. It believes it's very smart. Most of the time, narcissism is very intellectually developed, very smart. They can. They're scientists. They're doctors. They're drivers. They've got to do their best, and they do. And it's effortless for them because they are stunted emotionally. Emotionally, they got stunted at about 18 months to 4 years, somewhere in there. They never grew past it. Entire lifetime, never grew past it. In the beginning, when you meet them, the first 7 experiences, that's a lot, because in the beginning you don't meet someone every day. But even if you did, it even feel more powerful, more electric, more crazy. They do not show any sign of narcissistic tendency or behavior. Completely zoned into you. You almost can't believe you met someone so great. They ask you questions. They want to know every single thing about you quickly. That's one of the red flags you should pay attention to. There's no race. It's nice to get to know people over time. It's nice to hold on to what you're thinking for a little bit. It's nice to let time teach you things. But you come in and guns a-blazing, you can get married in 2 days or 3 days. The reason people get married in 2 or 3 days, end up breaking up in a month, is because they were under that, them on both ends. You know, oh, wow, we found what we wanted, and we're just going to act on it without thinking. Well, you get in really fast. You think, you know, you're going to live in that cloud forever. And then you wake up one day and you go, oh my God, this person said this and this. And how? What? And you're gone. So those first 7 times, why don't they exhibit those signs? Because you are their focal point. You are learning you. Because they need to learn everything they can about you to make a decision on whether or not they can plug you in. Whether they realize it or not, maybe they themselves don't even know they're doing it. But they want to know everything. And then once they know everything, they stop there. They never want to know anything else. No matter what you tell them, they could care less. As long as they find out your nuts and bolts, once they do that. So if you ever want to maximize your time with a narcissistic personality, tell them everything they want to know, because then they're going to know how to control you with that knowledge. Well, in the past, she didn't leave even after she was abused. So she'll stay. They're looking at. They are not looking at how much they love you, because they don't love themselves. They are not looking at what a beautiful life you're going to have together. They're looking at finding a support system to support their life and their life only. The reason that happens is, back in the day, when they were 18 months to 4 years old, they never grew past that. And when you are that age, you are still egocentric. You did not grow out of that stage of life. Most of us will grow out of the part of our lives where we are only thinking about ourselves, because we don't have capacity yet to think outside of ourselves about other people. We are being taken care of, and we don't take care of anybody else. And in that time, nobody took proper emotional care of us. It's a very subtle thing. So when they didn't take proper emotional care of us, we stayed in that state looking for that care of somebody to be just like a parent, come in and take care of all of our needs. So when they find you and they plug you in, you are now just like an arm for them. You're not a person, you're an arm. And your job is to feed the machine, whatever machine it is, man, woman, whoever it is. You're there to feed it. And when you don't feed it and you do anything on your own, like maybe on Tuesday nights, you guys have dinner at 7 every Tuesday night. And if you have plans on that Tuesday night, that's looked as an aggressive, non-loyal move. So over time, you stop doing those things because you don't want to upset the machine. You're like, oh, no, I can't bury on that. He'll get upset. He'll think I don't care, and I can't let him think I don't care. I got to show him I care. And then that's when you start getting sucked in. If you keep getting sucked in over and over again, the loop is that everything in your life gets thrown out and everything in the other person's life gets put in. And you are now living for them. I call it the IV before I even knew what it was. You're an IV. There's plug you in and you feed them. They are allowed to do whatever they want to do because nobody else matters. But you are not allowed to do everything you want to do because anything you do is a threat to them getting anything they want. So they have to come first. I know some men, some women who know how to play the game around a narcissist. As long as a narcissist is getting what they want, they can do whatever they want. And the narcissist won't even ask or care. But if they ever find out you did something that they didn't know about, they get upset because now they feel left out of the loop and they pride themselves on being in control of everything. Something to think about. So to answer the question, why are narcissistic people so mean? They're actually not mean in their mind. They're very matter of fact, but they're cold. Coldness that you're experiencing from those sweet people that you see with so much charisma and can attract a crowd in a second. That coldness is really what we're talking about. The lack of empathy. The only time I have seen in the event of them thinking they're sick or they may die. That's the only time. Nothing else have I seen faze them. During an illness of a spouse, they're fine. They seem to be okay, functioning. Afterwards, then they talk about them because they miss them, but most of it is because it brings them attention that they lost this spouse. It's very order and it is a mental disorder. They are cold, not mean. If someone called them mean, it would shock them. If someone described them to them, it would shock them. Because in their mind, they are not thinking that they're hurting anybody. They think everyone thinks like them. They think anyone would lie to get their way. They believe if they don't concede to a lie, that they're really smart. Like a little kid. Like, oh, look, they believed me. Ha, 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 ha. But then that reinforces the fact that no one tells the truth. Tell the truth all day long. They don't care. They think you're an idiot, which gives them less respect for you. Not that you have to lie to keep up with them, but they just think that, why would you do that? Why would you expose yourself? They're very cunning, very cold in the core. Control. I know many moms who control a household, or many dads who control a household just to keep order. That's different than plugging people in and using them. That's why it is so hard to detect. And then after a while, you're like, hey, wait a minute. Everything's about you. How did I not see that? Because you love the way you love, with sympathy, with empathy, with that caring. And you're like trying to train a dog to sit, and it just never wants to sit. And then one day you say, I don't think this dog's ever going to sit. And that's why. If you can look at it as a mental disorder, if while you're getting to know somebody, you give it time, just time, start realizing, well, I can't do that. I have to see so-and-so. Oh, I can't ask for that because that will infringe on our time and he'll think that I don't care or she'll think that I'm not available. But they cannot hide. Their behavior is so innate. It's been there long before you ever got there. And it's not going anywhere. Sometimes, you know, they settle for so little. They don't need much fuel to go on because once they plug you in and know what to expect, they don't need to know anything else about you. You might change a lot and decide you can't stay there, and then they get very aggressive and very mad because now they have to go out and find someone else and train someone else. I hate to say it, but that's when you say so mean, I say so cold. That's cold. It's not mean. They don't know they're being mean. They're survivalists. Because nobody took care of that emotional self when they needed it most. And on that note, you guys, have a great holiday weekend. I think this is our first weekend. I can't remember when December 1st was. I think it was last Saturday. So our second weekend in December, and we are off running. Have a great weekend. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to today's Daily Dose of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show. To learn more, visit www.nadiakhalil.com.